Let's read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. Therefore, says Paul, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be honest, the next verse is kind of bridges. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I'm just going to, as it bridges the two passages, I'm just going to come to that one next week. But let's take a look at this passage. Do you want God's best for your life? Well, of course you do. No, I've never heard anyone boast, I settled for second best in my life. Nobody ever says that. Nobody ever says joyfully, oh, I got God's second best. You don't say that, do you? It's just not what we set out to do in this world. Paul tells us how to get God's best in our lives. How to get the best from God. And it's nothing to do with your education. It's nothing to do with your wealth. Nothing to do with your family circumstances. Nothing to do with the continent you live in. Nothing to do with your race or your gender. You can live in a mud adobe hut and get God's best. You can live in a palace and get God's best. You can travel the world or stay at home and get God's best. Whatever you do, you can get God's best, because God's best is not to do with our circumstances, it's to do with what God's doing in us. And Paul says it very clearly in the middle of this section, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. To be fair to the Greek, actually, it should be translated being filled with the Spirit. It's an ongoing thing. Continually be filled with the Spirit is the sense of the Greek verb which Paul uses here. Not just on a one-off thing, it's being filled every day with the Spirit. Because fullness is one of the key words of the book of Ephesians. In 1:23, Paul says, Christ is the fullness of God who fills all things. That's pretty full to me. Christ is the fullness of all things, of God who fills all things. 3 verse 9, be filled with the fullness of God, he says. Chapter 4 verse 10, Christ ascended to fill all things. Chapter 4 verse 13, he talks about the fullness of Christ. So Paul is very concerned with just things that are full and overflowing. And what's full and overflowing in Paul's universe is Christ. And now he translates that to our personal life. He says, look, you've got to be filled to overflowing with Jesus. And how does that happen? It happens through the Holy Spirit filling us. That's how we get filled with Jesus, by the Spirit of Jesus living in us. So be careful how you live, he says. Don't be foolish. Understand God's will. Just make sure that you get this right, he says. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Root of the Righteous, has a chapter called Needed, A Baptism of Clear Seeing. A baptism of clear seeing. So much Bible knowledge and so little insight, he says. If knowledge of Bible doctrine were any guarantee of godliness, this world without doubt would be known in history. This would without doubt be known in history as the age of sanctity. But unfortunately, knowing about the Bible and putting it into practice are not the same thing at all. A lot of people know what the Bible says and know what they should do, they just don't do it. So, says Paul, be wise, be careful how you live. He's been unpacking that for us already. I won't go back through it. Recent studies, we've just been looking at different aspects of our lives where Paul is telling us to be wise, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So he says, look, be wise. And then he comes to the heart of it, which is verses 18 to 21. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, the Greek, actually, as you unpack the Greek of this section, it changes the meaning compared to our English version. So it's quite important. It's quite necessary just to get a hang of the Greek. In the NIV version, which is on your screen at the moment, there are 5 sentences and 6 commands. The 6th one isn't on there. It's about submitting to each other, okay? So some of you are now busily counting just to check, but I think it's right. If it's the same NIV version I was using. 5 sentences and 6 commands. But the Greek uses just 1 sentence and 2 commands. And that changes subtly the balance of the section. In the NIV, the commands are: don't get drunk, be filled with the Spirit, speak, sing, make music, submit to one another. In the Greek, the 2 commands are: don't get drunk, be filled with the Spirit. The rest are not commands. They're participles. So it's be filled with the Spirit, speaking, singing, making music, submitting. Those things follow from the commands. In the Greek, the emphasis is on the commands. Description of what happens when you are filled with God. You speak to one another with psalms and hymns, and you sing to one another. You make music and you submit to one another. That's what happens when you're filled with the Spirit. The results that flow from the Spirit of God. It doesn't happen the other way around. Coming to church and singing your lungs out will not make you filled with the Holy Spirit. See what I mean? Not that way around. The Spirit fills us and then we sing our lungs out with praise to God. And so we speak without embarrassment when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It becomes natural to speak about God. It becomes natural to sing and make music. And some of you are saying, yeah, Peter, it doesn't work for me because I'm tone deaf. But in your heart, you know, there's a singing, there's a music making, there's a creativity of one kind. We're all creative in some way, guys. All of us are creative in some way. Might be words, might be pictures, might be singing, but we're all creative in some way. So the question then is, you know, obviously the question is now, are we filled with the Spirit of God? Because if we're not, then we're missing out. If not, we're taking second best. Are we filled with the Spirit of God? That's the key question tonight. Am I filled with the Spirit of God? Because whatever fills me controls me. Whatever fills me controls me. If I'm filled with ambition, then that ambition will control my life. I will live to fulfill that ambition. True? Of course it is. If I'm filled with resentment, then that resentment will control me. If I'm filled with regret, it might be the love that got away, or the job that got away, or whatever. If I'm filled with regret, then that regret will control my life. If I'm filled with bitterness, then bitterness will control my life. I will become a bitter person because I'm filled with bitterness. If I'm filled with envy, then I will be a jealous person. I will constantly be moaning and complaining because I'm envious of what someone else has and I haven't got it. And it will colour, that will taste everything. No matter what I'm eating. If I want to be eating caviar, then even the sweetest cake will taste foul to me because I want to be eating something else. That's a silly, I don't know where that came from. It's a silly example. You can do better than that. If I'm filled with deceitfulness, I'll be a compulsive liar. Whatever fills us controls us. Paul happens to choose drinking here. Could have chosen any number of things. He happens to choose drink. He says, don't be filled with wine because it will control you. Could have been, don't be filled with drugs. Could have been filled, don't be, it doesn't matter what. whatever you fill yourself with will control you, and alcohol will, of course, control you. Don't be filled with these things. Be filled with the Spirit of God. What do you want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Because we have a choice. The very fact that Paul tells us to be being filled with the Spirit of God tells us that we actually have a choice. As Christians, we can resist the Spirit of God. Paul talks about us quenching the Spirit of God. We can choose not to be filled with the Spirit of God. In some ways, life gets easy if you're not filled with the Spirit of God. You can do whatever you like. It might not be good for you. It might not be good for God's people. It might not be what God wants. But you might feel you can drift through life with it. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God controls you. And that can be uncomfortable. That can make demands on our time. It can make demands on our money. It can make demands on anything we do. Do you want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Because it's up to me if I'm filled with the Spirit of God or not. It's up to you if you're filled with the Spirit of God or not. You can resist. You have that liberty as a Christian. It's a terrible liberty, but you have it. And I have it. The fullness of the Spirit is not for somebody else. It's for you. So many people think, oh, well, you know, so-and-so really got blessed by the Holy Spirit of God, you know, but it's not for me. Of course it's not. Of course it's for you. There's no limits on the Spirit if we allow him to fill us. It's for you. However that affects you, however that turns out in your experience, it's for you. Many, many years ago, I became aware of one of the old divines, a man called Andrew Murray, a man dead more than 100 years. And I kind of was aware of him. Lately, I've just began to get hold of some of his writings. It's actually available free on the internet. It's in public domain now. And, gosh, it's good. It's good. And he, talking about this, it's going, this is not, you know, somebody sort of brand new, from sort of hot Pentecostal church. This is a guy, this is a solid mainstream evangelical of more than 100 years ago. And he's talking about being filled with the Spirit of God, being baptized, the overflowing the Spirit of God, being filled continually every day. He says, I shall have it, for I now give up myself into the arms of my Lord Jesus. I shall have it. For it is the delight of Jesus to give the Holy Spirit from the Father into the heart of everyone. I shall have it, for I do believe in Jesus. And he promised me that out of him that believeth shall flow rivers of living water. I shall have it. I shall have it. I will cling to the feet of Jesus. I will stay at the throne of God. I shall have it. For God is faithful and God has promised. I say amen to that. Is that wonderful? Wonderful. And he goes on to talk about it. And he says, you know, how is that going to work out in my life? Then he has a beautiful little paragraph. It's exquisite. He writes, he talks about people being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that feel like? Is it something that comes with mighty stirring of emotions, a sort of heavenly glory that comes over you? And he says, well, yes and no. And he tells this story because he was a missionary. He was a preacher in Africa, in southern Africa. He says this, I was recently in Niagara Falls. That's America, isn't it? So how did he get there? I don't know. Sorry, I pass on that one. I noticed and I was told that the water was unusually low. Suppose the river were doubly full. How would you see that fullness in the falls? In the increased volume of water pouring over the cataract and its tremendous noise. But go to another part of the river, to the lake, where the very same fullness is found. And there is perfect quiet and placidity. The rise of the water is gentle and gradual. You can hardly notice that there is any disturbance as the lake gets full. And just so it may be with a child of God. To one it comes with mighty emotion and with a blessed consciousness. To another then it comes slowly and quietly. There are times in our life when being filled with the Holy Spirit is just like a mighty waterfall. There are times in our life when being filled with the Spirit is quiet and peaceful and gentle. It's the same thing. The same thing. Just different times, different places you're in. Does that make sense? Some of you are looking terribly confused. It makes sense to me. Because it reflects my life. Sometimes the Spirit has come with power and it's moved me and just transported me halfway to heaven and back. At times, it's quiet and peaceful. And that's the Spirit too. That's being filled with the Spirit as well. You are being filled with a person, not a thing. It's about relationship. It leads you into encouraging Christians and worshipping God, the Spirit of praise. It leads you, as it says in this verse, says into being thankful, giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Being thankful in all circumstances. It's a spirit of thanksgiving. And we shall see it leads to the spirit of submission. We submit to each other. We put other people's needs first. We feel we're placed on earth to encourage other people spiritually. That's what the Spirit does. It's what being filled with the Spirit is all about. It's what you want. That's what God will give you. Just need to ask. Just need to open your heart and let Him fill you. However that comes to you in whatever experience, go with it. Go with it. It's good. I finish with a quote from A.W. Tozer. You've got the impression I like Tozer already, haven't you? This is my book, The Divine Conquest. You can see it's fallen apart. I've read it so often. But I suppose I could buy a new one, but I've got attached to the old one. It just feels nice and worn. I pick it up. It's an old friend drops into my hand. And he talks about the Spirit-filled life. And he says, are you sure you want to be filled with the Spirit? Although He is like Jesus in His gentleness and love, will nevertheless demand to be Lord of your life? Are you willing to let your personality be taken over by another, even if that other be the Spirit of God Himself? If the Spirit takes charge of your life, He will expect unquestioning obedience in everything. He will not tolerate in you the self-sins, even though they are permitted and excused by most Christians. By the self-sins, he writes, I mean self-love, self-pity, self-seeking, self-confidence, self-righteousness, self-aggrandizement, self-defense. You'll find the Spirit to be in sharp opposition to the easy ways of the world and to the mixed multitude within the precincts of religion. He will be jealous over you for good. He will not allow you to boast or swagger or show off. He will take the direction of your life away from you. He will reserve the right to test you, to discipline you, to chasten you for your soul's sake. He may strip you of many of those borderline pleasures which other Christians enjoy, but which to you are a source of refined evil. Through it all, He will enfold you in a love so vast, so mighty, so all-embracing, so wondrous, that your very losses will seem like gains and your small pains like pleasures. Yet the flesh will whimper under His yoke and cry out against it as a burden too great to bear, and you will be permitted to enjoy the solemn privilege of suffering to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in your flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Now, with the conditions before you, do you still want to be filled with the Holy Spirit?